Yo. Hey. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag W-A-W. What a week. Yeah, yo. What a week.
Week. And we're back. And one of the reasons we're back is that we have electricity to record and edit a brand new show. Yes, over a month without load shedding. It actually feels a bit weird. We're wondering if it has anything to do with the fact that we might have an election in a couple of weeks. But we're not cynics. I mean, that couldn't be the reason, could it? Maybe we're just being paranoid. But just in case, let's get going with the show before we lose the power. Welcome back to another edition of Wow, What a Week.
This is
Wow! What a week.
What a week. This kid really kicks.
Now, our segment, What a Kid, features someone who's achieved something notable before they reach the age of 30 or 35. The next person we're speaking to is quite familiar with very old characters who express themselves with extensive and very loud sounds. But no, she's not someone who has spent some time in Parliament. What she is an amazing performer in the fascinating world of opera. Please join me in giving a warm welcome to soprano extraordinaire, if you will, Sidesipho Mnyango. Yay. Hello, you. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Representing King Williamstown.
Yes.
Oh, no, but was it not renamed? It was renamed, wasn't it?
No, was it? Oh, no. It has always been Konya.
Oh, it's always been that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was renamed when there were the other renamings. Rebecca and all the others there. So, King Williamstown 101. Why would anyone want to visit your town? Where do I go when I visit your town?
Firstly, I know you would want to go play at Amends.
Okay.
You know, we have quite a nice chillers there that you would enjoy.
Yeah.
And secondly, because I am from there, I grew up there. I went to school there before I went to Cape Town for my varsity studies. So it's quite a small place, but there's a lot happening.
Do they know you there, that this, you are representing around the world?
They do. They do. And they give me such immense support.
What's the typical response when you tell people that you're an opera singer? Because generally, we don't expect black girls to be singing opera. Generally.
I know. They always say, Lando yemizwilili. Yeah, and I just fail to explain. I just say yes, imizwilili, basically. It's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Most people always say, because of your name, Sinesipo,
we
can actually see that you are gifted.
Yes.
And this comes from my parents, because my parents would listen to opera. My dad was an opera singer as well. So that's where I got it from. And I fell in love with the music at a very young age.
When did you realize the extent of your gift? Because often we kind of play with our gifts, but we don't realize that this is your way out of wherever you are.
Actually, it was in high school.
Yeah.
I went to Hector Peterson High School.
Sure.
And I joined a choir forcefully. I didn't want to sing.
Who dragged you? Who dragged you to the choir?
The conductor.
Ah, yes.
Because they heard that there's someone that can sing. She can sing. And I was forced, and I went, and I fell in love. I was given a solo piece, which I murdered.
Okay. Do you remember the solo piece?
I remember it. It was "Somewhere There's a Place for Us, Somewhere a Place for Us." So
I feel like I'm walking through a field of flowers and poppies, and there's butterflies, and a butterfly lands on my nose.
When
I hear your voice is incredible.
Thank
and you haven't even warmed up.
No.
Yo.
So that's when I just decided that actually I want to study music, because we were not taught music as a subject.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to study music. I wanted to know more. I knew this is what I wanted to do. I didn't like maths.
Sure.
So I just wanted something else. I wanted something that I'm passionate about.
I still don't like maths. In fact, the funny thing, my 8-year-old loves maths. Mm. So I'm going to demand a DNA test. There's no way that girl likes maths. Anyway, carry on. You were saying.
Yeah, so I just followed my heart.
Yeah.
My mother was not happy with my decision.
I was going to say, where are the parents at this stage where you decide that? Me, imizwileli is my thing for the rest of my life.
My mother, to be exact, she was not happy. My dad was.
Mm.
And my mother raised me because they were not together.
Sure.
So when I had this conversation with my mother, she was like, no, what are you going to eat with music?
Mm.
Go be a social worker. And I was like, no, thank you.
Social workers are unemployed in this country, believe it or not. With all of our social ills, we have social workers that don't have work.
See?
Make it make sense.
So I was like, just give me a chance.
Yeah.
Give me a chance. I know I can make it work. I applied to UCT, went to UCT. And
how do you audition for this course? Do you audition? Do you just submit your results? How does it work?
Yes, I apply and then they call us for audition.
Okay.
Went to Cape Town, auditioned, and I waited until one day in Feb, I got a response that you can come.
So what does the audition look or sound like? What happens there?
There's obviously a panel.
Okay.
And then you just get in with your prepared songs. You also get to choose your voice teacher.
Ah, okay.
I got to choose mine because he is someone from back at home where I grew up.
Ah, yes.
So I wanted someone who can relate.
Relatability is everything.
Yes.
Yes.
So they were very friendly.
Yes.
They made us feel very comfortable.
Sure.
And I was so young at the time, shaking. Nerves.
So what had you prepared for this audition?
I prepared, what was that song again? I think it was a song from, it's a Mozart piece,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. It's not actually, it's from Verdi.
Okay.
There's something, it goes something like this. Addio, del passato.
Why are you stopping? Dude, are you in a relationship by any chance?
I'm married.
Are you married?
Yes.
Does he ask you to sing every day? Because no. I would do that.
No, he doesn't.
Dude, what are you waiting for? Sorry, every day you'd be singing.
Oh, wow. I think he's just used to it. He just...
Oh, he's tired. Guys, I live with her. I don't want her singing every day.
But he likes to see me transform on stage because I'm a different person at home and I'm a different person on stage.
Yes.
So he enjoys seeing me on stage, being that person that he's not used to.
Does he ever ask you to bring that character home today?
No.
Like, baby, that character.
No. But whenever I rehearse, he listens.
I'm sure the neighbors also know when you're
rehearsing. Oh, they know. It's hard not to know.
How has your voice changed your life?
Number one, my voice has taught me a lot.
Yeah.
That discipline.
Sure.
Discipline can take you far.
Mm-hmm.
And that I need to take time to better my craft.
Sure.
It has taken me as far as Argentina,
mm-hmm.
as far as Switzerland. And I am hoping to get more opportunities abroad because, sure. unfortunately, we don't really have the platform here in our country.
It's not part of our culture to be going to the opera.
Yeah, so we all go abroad.
Mm.
We would love to stay and sing for you guys, but I don't think most of the people here understand opera.
Mm.
We want them to understand opera. We want to stay and perform for you guys.
Maybe we put a log drum and I'm a piano fight a bit.
Maybe.
Then maybe people will start saying, oh, okay.
Maybe. So it has taught me a lot, I won't lie.
Mm.
And I can... When I listen to myself, which I find it hard because I criticize myself a lot, but I can actually hear the growth from when I started to to now.
That girl that did the audition.
Yes, there's a lot of growth. Yeah. There's a lot of growth, and it gets better and better.
It's the best feeling, eh?
The best.
When you see the growth and the progress. The
best feeling ever.
What's the biggest door your gift has opened for you? It might be a role you got overseas. What's the biggest door that's opened for you?
One that I remember, my very first trip to Argentina was with Cape Town Opera.
Okay.
I was a second year.
Yeah.
I just went there and auditioned and hoped for the best. Mm. They actually picked me and I did not believe it.
Oh, wow.
The fact that Umdana from Ekonge gets this opportunity to go to Argentina.
To go cry for Argentina.
You know, I've never been outside of South Africa.
Yes.
So it was also my first flight trip. I've never been on a flight at that time.
Yeah.
So it was very exciting to get to perform in a world stage, a big stage, which I still dream of performing still. It was very, very exciting. I am still grateful of that opportunity that they gave me.
Sure.
And I'm hoping that my voice will open more and more and more doors.
I think it will. And hopefully also open minds of kids out there that have a similar gift, but don't know what to do with it, don't know where to take the voice.
It's actually very possible.
Sure.
I am that result, that it is possible.
I don't know how big or small the opera world is. I don't know if you know Linnell Kay.
No.
Linnell Kay, she's also from Cape Town.
Okay.
I actually did a song with her because I was looking for an opera singer for a song of mine about almost 14 years ago.
Okay.
And Linnell jumped on it. And then last year, we were looking for another opera voice. I don't know if you know Sibongile Mollo. She's also an opera singer.
Okay.
She jumped on it. So this is me saying to you, if you are keen to jump on a song, we can talk.
Definitely.
Because I think opera and house music is an underrated combination.
True. So, give us a chance.
So we're ready to rock and roll.
Yes.
In fact, if you could put an operatic spin on a popular culture song, what song would that be?
There's this famous song, Nela Fantasia, if not Nesundorma. Everyone knows Nesundorma.
Okay.
Nesundorma, Nesundorma, mal mio mistero chiuso in me, il nome mio nessun saprà, no, sulla tua bocca lo dirò, quando la luce splenderà. I can see that fitting somewhere.
Well, I was hoping for like a pop song or like Mnige or something, but that will still do.
It's fine. Well, I'll have to think of something. That's fine.
Do the hands add to the quality of the singing?
You know,
because the hands are always there. And I know they make it look all posh and all lani, but do they add anything? Or is it like when a rapper grabs that crotch? It doesn't necessarily add anything.
Yeah, it's hard to sing like this. It's hard, even if we are being coached. Our coaches always do this when they want us to project. They'll point somewhere, you know.
So when you do that, you know you're throwing the voice there.
Yeah, it does help in a way. You kind of see it, even though you don't see it, but you see it going there. So you push it in a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where do you see opera going in this country? And if you could change anything about how we consume opera, how would you do that?
For a start, what you just mentioned, that we need to introduce opera slowly into the music that our people are used to.
Sure.
Mapiano, house, groom, you know. And I can see that South Africa is trying, because last week I was just in a choral festival in Joburg Theatre.
Sure.
People know choral a lot.
Yes.
But the opera is deep. So we need to introduce opera slowly but surely, you know, in those platforms.
Sure.
And if we could also have like maybe here in Gauteng, just one opera house. Mm. One opera house.
But would we support it? It's going to close down.
I know. I don't know how to... Maybe, just maybe, we could have like African opera composers.
Yes.
And sing opera in our own languages. Mm. A language that our people can understand, because now I am singing in Italian. You don't understand Italian. Sure. You won't be interested in coming and support me when you can't even understand what I'm singing about.
If you could tossify opera, what would it sound like?
That's interesting.
That's my challenge to you right now.
Oh my.
Yeah.
If I could tossify.
Yeah. Opera.
Imagine I'm here. Mm-hmm. Molo freshi, we are pilan amshanje. Nisheli opu, dingokola nawe. You know, you can understand me.
Yes, it works.
It does. If we could only have African composers compose some Xhosa, Sotho, you know,
bring it
opera,
home.
Opera productions, opera pieces. We are here. We will sing them, make them famous, you know, in our own country and even abroad.
But you performed at the Teatro last year, didn't you? At Monte Cassino.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
we have a theater there already.
Yes. And that was fantastic because there was Mzansi Tenors who also did some Venek pieces as well, translated some English pieces into Xhosa.
So we're moving there.
That would be, I think maybe we should just move with that.
Yes.
In that direction.
Absolutely.
Or maybe like, translate these songs into our own African songs and perform them. Maybe people would start coming and try to understand our music now that they can understand the language.
Is there anything you're currently working on where we can see you, we can support you?
At the moment, I have a performance coming up. It is going to be in Kruger.
Okay.
There I am working with
Kruger National Park. Kruger's Dorp.
Kruger National Park.
Just double checking.
I am working with the Phoenix Orchestra.
Okay.
I think it is going to be a 2-day concert.
Oh wow.
Yes. So, and I work a lot with Maestro Richard Cork. So I always have a concert somewhere. That is the one that's coming up really, really soon.
Are you going to say goodbye with one last song?
Let me try an African song at least so that our people can relate.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
There's one by Mama Sibongile Khumalo.
Oh, yes.
It is called Sithandwa Sam.
Njenge badi ifunu mtombo.
Your control is incredible.
Thank you.
And you touched a bit of a note with me with Mama Sibongile because our son Tato was born to Thando's groove. That's the song that we had on repeat when Tato was being born. So Mama Sibongile always have a place in my heart.
Place.
Yeah. Dude, we brought you in here because we see you, we recognize what you're doing. We appreciate the effort you're making, your resilience, your staying the course, and the discipline, like you're saying, it takes to go from where you've been to where you are and still keep going.
Yeah.
I think all of us can learn from that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of our kids get into careers where they expect to see results immediately.
Yes.
And then they give up along the way. Mm. At that time, money was spent on you by your parents to try and get you on that journey. Mm. And I think you're the perfect example of that.
Yeah.
That stay the course. Mm. Stay the course and watch a miracle happen.
Yes. Yes, it gets better.
So thank you for staying the course.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Where do we find you on social media? We're going to support you.
Instagram, Sine Mnyango. Facebook, Sine Sipho Mnyango. Yeah, those two. I'm not on Twitter.
Okay.
So, yeah, those two, you can find me there.
Okay, my producer says, please ask her to sing. Is it Pai Gisu?
Pia Yesu.
Pia Yesu, that's the one. I just saw Pai, and I got hungry. So it's Pia.
Pia. Pai.
Ah, me, I saw a Pai. It's like Pai Gisu.
Oh, okay.
So what is it, Pia?
That one, Pia Yesu. Is my favorite.
Well, let's hear it, please, before you leave.
Pia Yesu. Pia Yesu. Pia Yesu. Pia Yesu. Quietus peccata mundi, dona eis requiem. Yes.
Guys, please show her love, support her, follow her on social media, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is
Wow!
What a week. What a week.
From one unique style of performance to another, Hunters have partnered with Tresor and Jacquel Culture House once again for the all-new round of the 2024 Foster the Sound Talent Search to help get careers from Kasi famous to world famous. Entries are now closed, and the mentors are sifting through the thousands of entries to find the top 10 Fostees, who will go head-to-head and note-to-note for a seat as one of two finalists. This is the opportunity for them to foster the sound and refine their craft. They believe they have the game, but can they master their own sound? Regardless of whether you are in or out, the journey doesn't end here. Hunters and the Jacquel Culture House are hosting an exclusive music masterclass with three industry titans, Tresor, Musa Keys, and Shekinah, on Tuesday the 14th of May, live from right here, the AMP Studios in Jersey. Anyone can sign up. It is free to do so, but there are very limited spaces. So please register now at jacquelculturehouse.com. That is JACQUEL, jacquelculturehouse.com. Get your free ticket now to the biggest masterclass of the year. Proudly brought to you by Hunters, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Hunters refreshes like nothing on earth.
This is
Wow!
What a week. What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Welcome back to Wow, What a Week. Now, there are people and collectives who have helped brands and industries turn great profits, but who haven't received much credit. Example, condom manufacturers should thank companies for allowing people to work at home. Many cool drink brands should thank traffic police for products sold. And a certain German automaker should thank our next guest for possibly helping them sell a number of people carriers. Right now, we would like to thank him for coming through for a chat. Please give a wow welcome to Mr. Karakara, K.O., this kind of god. What's up, my dog?
Hey, that's a fire intro. That's a fire intro. It shows that you're a seasoned radio personality, my bro.
Hell thank yeah. You. So VW never called? Not even once?
Actually, nah, not even.
Don't you think that's sad, though? That not even one person at VW thought, this is the dude.
I think there was a conversation that happened. I think they had a the guys from headquarters in Germany. Yeah, yeah. I think they came here a year after the album, the song came out.
Sure, sure.
And someone shared, I mean, they were clueless
sure,
about
sure.
like obviously what was going on with that song and the coloration and whatnot.
But
so,
even that in itself says your finger is not on the pulse.
Like, exactly.
Of what's yeah. going on.
Yeah. But I blame more, if there's anyone to blame, the local office.
No, absolutely.
You know, for
absolutely.
Not connecting the dots and say, okay, cool. You know, and so when these guys come and then they find out there was something like this that was happening, they're like, why were we not, you know, behind this whole thing?
Why did we sleep on this?
You know what I mean? So, but yeah, it also came, it was happening at a time, that conversation started happening at a time where also my business like was shifting.
Sure, sure.
And so it just ended up not necessarily fully like, you know, coming to fruition. But yeah, I mean, I think in that sense, I guess there was something, some type of interest.
And as a qualified public relations practitioner yourself, I'm sure you were like, why are these guys sleeping on this free PR I'm giving
yeah,
them?
Yeah, but I think it was really just like super yeah. short-sighted.
Sure.
Because it was just free promo.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And also at that time...
Not even money can buy you what you gave them.
That's crazy. You know what I mean? And it was actually also on the cusp of the new model.
Yes.
Of the microbus coming out.
Absolutely.
So everything just made all the sense.
Sure.
But I think also proactively,
yeah.
maybe we didn't chase from our side. You know,
I don't know that you should have chased.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, someone will say, yeah, but did you actually
did you call approach? Them? Did you call
You
them?
Know what I mean? So, yeah.
Speaking of cars, myself, you, and I think also Zjava,
yeah.
we all drive the same crew bus.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
we
yeah.
all opted for that one.
Yeah.
Over the V-Class.
Yes,
because I had a V-Class before
yeah.
that was in an accident. And when insurance wanted to replace the V-Class, I instead went for the car that you have.
Yes,
I think Zjava bought two of those.
Oh, yeah?
Any reason why you went for that brand versus a V-Class? Because every artist is in a V-Class.
Yeah. I've never been a follower.
Yeah.
You know, I always just go for what makes sense. I remember when the H1 was launched.
Sure.
In like 2010.
Yeah.
And people were not looking at it. Obviously, there was the conversation was always like V-Class.
Yes.
So we went for the H1. And then thanks to you also, for as long as I've known and watched how you did your cars,
sure.
I was always only like, when I'm straight,
yeah.
I always want to make sure that I have shoes on my car.
Sure.
I pimp this thing up like as much as I possibly can. So when we got the... When we got the H1,
yeah.
we put 22s on it.
I saw that.
And
I saw, yeah.
it just changed the dynamic. And then everyone, boom, started, you know, getting onto the H1.
Shoes change everything about a car.
Absolutely.
In fact, I remember when you were still in tear gas. I think you guys lived at an apartment block in Centurion that I used to sometimes visit. And I think I had 24s on my Audi at the
yep.
time.
I remember.
And I remember you guys saying, damn, one day is one day.
Of course.
Look at you now, dog.
Of course. I mean, it became, I'm not going to lie, it became an addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, even to this day, on that particular car that you're talking about,
yeah.
I think we have 22s as well.
Yeah.
I had Giovanni's on that thing.
Yeah.
And then there's another ride now, Coupe. I also have 22s on it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it became a lifestyle.
Like I said earlier on, you're a PR practitioner. You're qualified. You have a whole degree in PR.
Yes, sir.
Not even a diploma. So we're going to test your PR skills right now.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Which vegetable do you think has bad PR and how would you fix it?
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Vegetable?
Yeah.
For me,
it's broccoli. I think broccoli is a bad rep, but that's a story for another day. Which vegetable would you do PR for? If
I think the one that I'm going to mention,
yeah,
it in terms of consumption,
sure,
literal consumption, there's not a big rate,
okay,
but it's in our day-to-day conversation, eggplant.
The eggplant. So how would you do PR for eggplant, my dude? Because the only time I see eggplant as an emoji is when she says, "I'm waiting for you, daddy."
That's exactly where I'm going. Right? I think better marketing and PR needs to be done on the PG side of things.
Okay, so the perception of eggplant.
Yeah, you know, because it's not necessarily like a common delicacy, you know.
No, black folk don't eat eggplant.
Exactly, yeah. But it's so prominent, like this day and age with you know what I mean, with smartphones and stuff.
Sure. And it has nothing to do with the eggplant.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think I'll throw it in.
How do you change PR for cabbage? So the cabbage board come to you and say, yo, KO, you're a PR practitioner. We need to give cabbage a better rep. How would you fix that?
I think it starts with presentation, first of all.
Tell that to your grandmother. My grandmother thinks it was the same every meal.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. You know, I think it starts with presentation, first of all. Like how, I mean, obviously, I think cabbage, coleslaw, is already in there.
Sure.
You know, so it's almost like part of our day-to-day meals. But I think a normal, like, just well-cooked or, like, stir-fried, form of, like, cabbage.
Sure.
I think that's something that has become, especially with us and the trauma growing up in these households, and black households, where, like, you just reference your grandma right now. We only know it one way. You know, but it can actually be turned into an actual, delicacy.
You know, for 18 years in my marriage, she knew no cabbage in the meal. Because for me, it was trauma.
Exactly.
For me, it reminded me of, geez, cabbage again and again.
Yep.
And then again.
Yep. I know. But I think just unpacking, the composites and the nutrients that come with that particular, form of food. I think that's the one thing that you might want to just put forward as far as PR is concerned.
So basically saying to black people, cabbage is not just poverty, basically.
Yes.
Which town or city would you do PR for? Because maybe they need it. Oekasi.
I think right now.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
Don't tell me Orania.
Oh, no. I think right now, man, I'd say KZN has gotten bad media.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, for obvious reasons.
Sure. For obvious reasons and natural reasons also. it's just...
Yeah, but I think also just like the past, you know, if we talk about just the political past, and everything that played out over there. So, they are viewed a certain way.
Mm.
And I think there's some reputational damage that needs to be done over there. Because, bro, I remember back in the day, I mean, you know this very well.
Mm.
You probably, years ago, you were doing more shows in Durban than you were doing Joburg.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. No, I literally lived in KZN.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and over the years, recently, that has unfortunately changed.
Sure.
You know, and...
Why do you think that is, though?
I think it just became... I don't know. I'm not from there.
Yeah.
But just from what I'm picking up, I think... And there was nothing wrong with that. I think it just maybe not managed the right way. I think it just became too territorial.
Political.
Yeah, territorial, where, and they were rightfully supporting their own, they were putting their own talent, to the fore, which is what is supposed to be happening everywhere else in the country. But unfortunately, because we're living in such a small country, we can't afford to be territorial because they need us over there. We need them this side. So I think that's sort of kind of what happened.
But surely the KZN talent were onto something, though. That why is it always Joburg artists coming here, but none of us are performing in Joburg?
Yeah.
Like, how does that make sense?
Yeah. That's why I'm saying they were doing the right thing. I think it was just not done the right way, maybe, because it became more of, instead of making it a cordial stance, it became it almost kind of felt like I'm not going to say an F you, but...
It was a middle finger.
you know, if you want to take it there. But yeah, I just think it wasn't cordial, the stance that they took.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, which politician needs KO's PR magic? Like currently, just looking at the scene politically, who'd you work your magic on?
You know, bro, you know what? The craziest thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not the most politically savvy person.
Sure.
But my encounters with Julius, dude, yeah. Like Julius is such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like his energy, he feels like he's one of us.
Sure.
And then when he gets on a public platform, obviously, you know, you see obviously the persona.
It's like you getting on stage, basically.
Yeah.
It transforms.
It's performative. It's performative. You know? But he's such a dope dude, bro. Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think, beyond the facade that he puts on, I think it would be great for just people, and especially young people,
sure,
to actually just like pull that wool over, you know what I mean? And then just actually see the man that is in there.
Experience him.
Yeah, and then you'll probably relate. And this is not me campaigning, by the way.
Sure.
But you'll probably resonate with him as a human being more than the politician, I think. Yeah.
Would you ever actively endorse a politician or a party? Or you,
I mean,
or you just take the gigs?
We found ourselves, unfortunately, just like you, we found ourselves having to, you know, show up where...
Sure.
The check calls you.
Absolutely.
You know, but at this day and age, unfortunately, I mean, and remember how tough it was back in the day where, like, you would get inquiries from other parties,
sure,
but you knew that you were not going to entertain them. Why? Because...
Yes, you expected to go...
To the one party,
yeah,
right? So I think that is becoming slowly neutralized, which is good. Because we are conduits more than anything.
Sure.
We are not necessarily signed to any
where I perform is not a sign of my loyalty to that place.
Yeah, I'm just
there working,
offering a service.
If you need a plumber, the plumber
the
goes
thing.
Where there's a pipe leaking.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean the plumber supports that establishment there.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying, basically.
Yep. That's what it is.
All right. I have a message for you, by the way.
Okay.
Please put on your headphones. Just so that you can, but I'm sure you'll be able to hear it. Guys, where are KO's headphones?
Where are they? I think he's pointing at something.
Can you please?
You. Oh, behind you.
Someone come give KO these headphones so he can hear.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to start here, right? Because I don't think anybody in the history of interviews... Oh, yeah, by the way, we just need your mic back. Yeah, we just need your mic back so that you can comment. We are starting here because I don't think in the history of KO interviews have we ever heard this voice.
Hi, everyone, and hi, baby. Wow. So I've been asked to give a bit of a background in terms of how I actually met Ntokozo. So we met about 11 years ago. It may actually have been longer. We just met socially. I was living in Cape Town at the time, and we really remained friends for many years thereafter. And only once I relocated to Johannesburg, that was when our relationship, I think, really developed. So we've seen each other grow and evolve significantly, which has really been a great experience. And what I've come to appreciate most about you, Ntokozo, is really your consistency as an individual. I feel that you show up in relationships with the same commitment and dedication as you do in your work. And I think that speaks largely to the standard at which you live your life. And I know we speak about this often, that my own career has progressed significantly over the past few years, and you've really formed a big part of my support base throughout that. And without you realizing, it's actually your ambition and your growth mindset that I think fuels a lot of people around you. And for that reason, I'm really, really grateful to have you as a part of my life.
Who is that, my dude?
Wow, that's crazy. That's someone that is very important in my life that I, as she has detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an amazing journey. Mm-hmm. It's been pretty dope, man.
Yeah. Why yeah, nah? Especially because you guys met at a time where you were the biggest thing on the street.
Yeah.
You could have gone with anyone else, but right here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it happens that way. Like, for me, I've never been someone that necessarily follows, you know, all the shiny things out there, if I may put it that way.
Yeah, if with enough effort, you could shine a turd even.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And, sometimes you just need... I was telling this to Tulu the other day. You know, I think you don't necessarily... You don't prepare yourself. Oh, well, you are ready and you expect to find someone that compliments you.
Sure.
But you might not find the person that you're pointing at.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes they're here, but you don't see them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the universe does its thing.
Sure.
And I think that's exactly what played out.
Sure.
With myself and homegirl, and which is a beautiful situation. And
what have you learned about yourself from that relationship? Because often it's the relationship becomes your mirror.
I had to become what they say is a modern man.
Sure.
Right. A modern man is, in my book, is you patriarchy. Like, you know, it falls to the wayside.
You shelve it.
Yeah.
Well, you know when to turn it on.
Definitely. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when it comes to protecting the household, yes, of course.
Yes.
But in terms of fluidity in the house, you allow for, not necessarily allowing marriage to, you know, take, you know, the forefront, but it becomes a thing of like, if she has a certain stance, you don't shut it down just because, hey,
I'm a man.
I'm the man of the household. So this is what goes, type of thing. So I think I've allowed myself to operate from that view now, and also just like understand relationships, and especially when you're also dealing with a modern woman who is not trying to catch up with the next girl.
Sure.
Right. One thing that I had to find myself doing, which is, because I was spoiled by, obviously, like you were saying, being who I am out there.
Yes.
So now everything I say needs to go, and people need to, you know what I mean, like dance to my tune, literally. I remember I bought a house.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. I'm buying this house because now there's this girl.
Yeah.
Right. And first thing we're doing, I need a child now. I'm ready.
Yeah.
This was 9 years ago. I need a child. It's 2024.
Yeah.
I still don't have a child.
Yeah.
You know, and because when I brought that to the fore, she was like, I'm still... I'm in a phase where I am, you know, my career, I cannot afford to, you know, interrupt it.
A break, yes.
You know what I mean? So I need to be consistent, and I need to get to a certain level. And then when I get there, once I've, you know, accomplished certain things, then I can look into, you know, starting a family. So
how did you respond to that when you heard
it was devastating.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
For some people, it's a deal breaker, but you're still with her.
It definitely was a deal breaker to a certain degree. I remember during COVID.
Yeah.
Right. I had bad COVID. I had bad COVID. Sure. 2020.
Yeah.
First wave.
Mm.
Bad COVID, bro.
How bad? As in, quarter to die?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I had bad COVID.
Yeah.
And so she's a doctor by profession.
Sure.
Right. Here I am in the house all by myself. And she says, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm just trying to paint a picture.
Sure.
I'm not trying to throw mud,
okay,
you know, at her or anything, you know, but I'm just trying to just show people the compromises, right?
Sure.
So she obviously has to go to work, but like, as I am struggling with COVID, she decides not to come around.
Sure.
And that's what people were doing because it's isolation, right?
Sure.
But to me, it registered in a bad way.
Sure.
I'm like, a whole doctor is leaving me for death.
Sure.
So shortly after that, I'm like, nah, this can't be it. And this person doesn't have a child, so this person doesn't really have it in, her form.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to wiggle my way out of it.
Sure.
I actually kind of did, and, you know, trying to call it off, but my dad was the one that actually gave me a call. He was like, think about it properly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I mean, you get the families telling you that, so where are the grandkids? Boom, 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 boom. You know, but this is this person's journey.
Sure.
And as much as, yes, cool, you want to, like, impose your own, just allow for this one to play out the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure at the end of the road, you're going to look back and actually be grateful that it played out the way that it did. So that way, and then that's where I just like had to like humble myself and just keep things going. So, but yeah, I mean, everything is fire. Everything is beautiful.
As you're lying in bed, you know, people are dying left, right, and center from COVID. How scared were you?
Bro, it's what I'm saying to you, bro. Like, I don't know if, maybe you do know, there was a gentleman called Peko.
Okay, I know Peko. I remember Peku was at EMI, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, I just got back from Norway with another gentleman. His name is Shoni Sani.
Sure.
And he actually was the one who put that whole situation in Norway together. So we travel and then we come back and then 2 weeks later, it's lockdown.
Sure.
Right? A month later, Shoni dies.
Yeah.
The next day, Peko dies.
Peko's gone, yeah.
A week later, I have COVID.
Yeah.
So, like, you can imagine the panic. Because these are people that are, like in close proximity.
Sure.
And, and, like, being in that house by myself, my brother, who also lives in the same estate with me.
Sure.
And he's got a family and everything. And he also, like, because of the whole isolation situation, they can't even come help me.
So if you've ever felt alone, it was then?
Yeah, no, that was horrible.
Yo.
But then my brother,
because
me and Tulu, actually, Tulu had his symptoms pop up a week before me.
Sure.
Right? And now, here I am. He's on his way out of isolation.
Sure.
And I'm just starting. So Tulu also stays by himself. So when this whole thing is happening, my brother calls me and he's talking to me on the phone. And he's like, bro, this man sounds like he's dying.
Yeah.
He calls Tulu. He's like, bro, I know we don't know this whole phenom with COVID.
Yeah.
But maybe because you have it, I don't know.
Yeah.
You might want to have to, because Tulu's symptoms were mild compared to mine.
How bad were you sounding over the phone?
I could hardly speak, bro.
Hey, for real?
Yeah, like, yo, bro, I was going to die in that house.
Yo.
If Tulu hadn't come to actually play Nurse Bertha by me, bro, like, he wasn't, I was going to die.
Oh,
I
wow.
promise you. Because I couldn't go downstairs. I couldn't get myself food, treatment, and all that stuff. And Tulu literally ended up playing nurse in the house.
Yo.
That's how crazy it was.
When you come out of a dark area like that.
Yeah.
Surely shifts
absolutely
your appreciation for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, especially with my work. I mean, so it's the summers while I'm sick.
Yeah.
They are announcing the ceremony, I think, was going to happen that same week.
Mm.
And here I am, like, bedridden. And so I'm thinking, oh, my God. And, like, a year before, Nipsey Hussle had died.
Sure.
And, you know, suddenly now they're showering him with, like, awards and stuff.
Sure.
I'm like, you never gave him awards before, but now you, was just because he's dead. So now, here I am. I've got 5 nominations at the Summers.
Yeah.
I'm about to die.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing with you. I'm laughing with you.
I'm like, there's no way they're going to do me like Nipsey, bro, because I'm going to get sympathy trophies.
Yes.
So I'm going to, I need to be here.
Sure.
So if they give me anything, I need to be alive for it.
Sure.
And then let's just like, it, moving forward, I'm going to fight and earn the awards, whether they give them to me or not, but yeah. I'm going to actually be on my A game
sure.
to a point where it's actually going to be undeniable.
Mm.
And that's where the switch happened again for me to be like, okay, cool, let's work on a new album.
Yeah.
And then that's how you get SR3, that's how sure. you get set there and yes. all these other things, you know what I mean? So that experience, going through that dark time, was a definite switch, and I'm grateful that I went through it.
Speaking of the awards that were happening at the time that you are dying, you are probably, and I've often called you the Leonardo DiCaprio of our industry.
Yeah, I know.
Where
right?
you put out such great work.
Yeah.
But majority of your nominations have never turned into an award,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
You know, I think to me...
Because it cannot... hurt, or it cannot feel like an injustice at some stage.
It definitely did for the longest of time feel like an injustice,
yeah.
right? But then I also, as that whole thing was happening, it was also chipping away at the institution of the awards
sure.
themselves.
Mm.
So I think over the years, people have gone to a point where like the credibility is definitely questionable.
Yes,
at the
yes,
awards.
Yes.
So even when that happens, yes, cool, people still are rooting for me to, you know what I mean, to get the reward. But even when it doesn't happen, it's now at a point where, well, we knew they were not going to, you know what I mean, they were not going to look your way.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
I think definitely we are at a point, not even locally, but also overseas, whether it's the Oscars, like you're saying with the DiCaprios and all these other people, Drake hardly wins any Grammys.
Mm.
J. Cole hardly wins Grammys. But, you know, these are people that have led the new wave
sure.
of hip-hop or the recent, during the, you know, the 2010s. And for them not to have as many Grammys as some of the other guys is just, like, appalling.
Sure.
So but also, that also has now said, hey, awards... are they the end and be all?
Sure.
Are they the defining
mm-hmm.
measure
mm-hmm.
to anyone's success? Definitely not. Sure. So I'm operating like from that view where today, as long as when I look at the calendar,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, cool. You guys gave that particular individual awards, but my calendar is
mm-hmm.
way more packed up than that person.
And that is your award.
That is
in the
my
bigger
award,
scheme
bro.
Of things.
That is my award, and yeah. the promoter wants me to be I'm the headlining act.
Sure.
I'm closing the show.
Yeah.
Compared to the other guy.
Sure.
Hey man, he can keep those.
Mm.
This is more satisfying for me. So
sure.
yeah.
Absolutely. Let's go back to our doctor friend. So you guys met what 10, 11 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but 2014 was probably also a very dark year for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You dealt with a lot of shit that year.
Yes, sir. And good stuff, too.
No, yes. There's also a lot of good stuff. But as the good stuff is happening, there's also people speculating about your health.
Yeah.
And it's unrelenting.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that at an emotional level?
That wasn't as actually traumatizing as some of the other things I've been through, actually.
Yeah.
Because... I also kind of understood why I found myself in that position.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, the stigma around HIV and AIDS those days was yeah. still, like, you know, crazy.
Sure.
And, you know, there were, unfortunately, some people, you know, some of my peers were also passing away.
Sure.
You know, due to. So when people saw me, like, looking scrawny and,
yeah.
you know, losing all that weight... it was easy to speculate.
Mm, mm.
I had a gym obsession, and on top of that, I was on a fat burner.
Sure.
Dude, my weight right now is 83.
Mm.
I was 69.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I was, like, super, super skinny, you know? So I kind of understood because, like, even my mom, like, before even that whole thing played out, even my mom was the one was like, hey, I hope they don't think you say, I know we know you're perfectly fine, but because you've lost so much, I hope they don't think otherwise type of thing. Mm. And then when it actually started happening, it also turned into great PR because it allowed me to be on different media platforms. Also, not only just for my brand, but, you know, the new music, Karakara, also kind of leaned on that entire media run.
Yeah, you were top of mind. Exactly. For the right and the wrong reasons.
You know, so I think it just God engineered it that way. And I wouldn't want to change anything about it.
Emotionally, how did it affect you?
Emotionally, I think that's where I actually also like just realized that, okay, cool. I'm probably just dealing with what I've always dealt with, you know, since a kid. I've always just had, I mean, I even saw it even now with like Sete and stuff. Yeah. Like when something great happens in my life, there's a wave or a faction of people that try to throw like some spanner in the works to try and take away from the moment.
To dilute the moment.
Yeah, you know? So I think I just looked at it that way. I'm like, okay, cool. So this is what the devil does.
Sure.
And yet again, we're going to overcome. And that's just been the chapter of my life, I guess.
So you're in a new relationship at the time.
Mm-hmm.
How does all of that affect that? Looking at how far you guys have come together.
So that time when 2014, I was actually in my previous relationship.
Ah, okay.
Right?
Mm.
And one of the reasons why I decided to take a public HIV test was because that person was also like, you know, in the public eye. And I just wanted to neutralize things on her end as well, you know, just so that it doesn't affect her and stuff, you know, all kinds of speculation. So, boom, that's why I just jumped on top of things like that. And there was that. So that was that. So it had nothing to do with, the new relationship. Yeah.
Okay. So it was more of like a PR master stroke. But how do we stop this fire immediately?
Yeah. Getting on top of things. And also, I must also like, I don't want to touch on like old wounds.
Touch on it, my man. It's fine.
Because this has to do with you.
Yeah.
But I've also seen you getting right on top of things.
Sure.
As, you know, certain things were
starting deal with it. Don't run away from it.
Yeah. Because I saw myself. So after that, there was another situation where I had bad PR again. You know, because of like, you know, the artists that were around me at the time and, you know, the collapse of the label.
Was this the Cash Time era?
Okay. Yeah. And then I had bad PR and then I took a different stance.
Sure.
I just remained mum.
Sure.
And then obviously the narrative just...
In the absence of your side of the story...
It became what it is.
It becomes what it becomes, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, when I saw, you know, guys like yourself and, you know, Black Coffee and all these people who have gone through, you know, tumultuous times in the media, whether it's speculation or whatever it is, and just getting on top of things, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So that's what we do.
So I need to do.
You know, so since then, that is just that's my science as well.
All right. We have another message for you.
Solo here, KO's business partner. And a very good friend of his. I've known Dolazo for a very long time. I think for as long as he's been in the music space. I met him when they were working on their first TIGS album, and I was a beat maker back then. And I was fortunate enough that one of my beats were chosen. And I got to sing on the song as well. And the guys discovered that I could write, and I wrote a chorus for one of them as well on one of the songs. And our relationship started from then, you know, even on the second album. I was called in to assist with the writing of the choruses. And yeah, I mean, we've been working ever since. Then I became Tear Gas's DJ in their last few years. And I just became closer with Undogazo. We just had similar, you know, dreams. So yeah, I just became closer with him. And when he branched off to be a solo artist, I became his DJ and road manager. Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, fast forward years later, we founded Skanda World. It's, yeah, it's our business, and we've been doing that since 2017. And, you know, ups and downs, but we've always been able to work together. We've went through a lot, you know, times when the industry was a bit against them, we were always together, you know, through the lows and through the highs, you know. He's my brother forever. We'll always love him. And, you know, I'll always wish him the best, you know, and may we continue to grow. Yeah. Thank you, Jack.
Please, please, please.
How do you feel about that message?
Yeah, I mean, like, certain things don't have to be explained.
You know
what I mean? Because, like I said earlier, like the story that I told about the man literally being there for me at, like,
when nobody was there, and
yeah,
and you were dying,
yeah, you know, like, I mean, I don't have to question anything about his loyalty and, you know, the friendship and everything else. Like, there's so much that I appreciate with, you know, people of his oak. You know, and because he's not the only person there is that is like that.
Sure.
You know, there's the Copses, you know, even my younger brother, you know, like there are so many people that I actually look at and be like, okay, cool. I know the significance in my life. And Tulu is just a staple in everything that I have to do. And I don't have to go to certain meetings and he will make decisions on my behalf. That's how much faith that I have in the relationship.
In your 2017 single, No Feelings,
yes, sir.
You look at themes of pain and betrayal.
Yeah.
How do you then know how to vet people on the go? Because often in our industry, there's no way of vetting people or their intentions.
Yeah.
Even when you get into a relationship, you can't really vet people.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's wild how when we want to hire you to pay you money to do something for me, mm-hmm. I'll vet you, I'll check this, I'll check that. But everything else you have to vet on the fly.
Yeah, yeah.
So given the betrayal that you may still feel from the past, how do you vet on the go?
No new friends?
Yeah.
That's keep
the circle small.
Yeah, like I don't need any new friends. I don't need to start new relationships with no one right now. I do have, obviously, I'm a public servant.
Sure.
So everything I do is in the public domain. I will encounter a new, you know, someone who represents a certain, you know what I mean, corporation or whatever of that nature, and we get close because of, like, the core of it is the work.
Sure.
You know, and then if it ends up being, let's catch drinks, you know?
Yeah.
I'm open to those type of things.
Sure.
But, you know, that's where it ends. Mm. You know, I don't necessarily need to now, like, share my entire life with them, and I don't need them respectfully to give me their whole life.
Sure.
Because I know what I need right now, and I'm happy with that, and I'm content. So that's just how I operate. And also my guys as well, like Gobson Tulu, they are good, great judges of character.
Absolutely.
You know, I think with being around them for the longest, I've also sort of kind of picked up on that skill myself. Sure, so, sure. Yeah.
In fact, one last message, speaking of gobs.
Dumelang, what's up, what's up? I go by the name of Mangoba Sishi, also known as The Gops. That man right there, you know, played and still plays a very pivotal part in my life and my journey. You know, he's a good friend, he's a good brother. I started working with Mtokozo. I think it was like just 2011, I think 2012, but we met 2008 when they were working on the second tier guest album. I think if I remember correctly, I might be mistaken, but that man is the epitome of consistency and a great head on his shoulders and focused. He knows what he wants, you know, and he goes for it, and he's very patient, you know, and I've learned to be calm from him and to just be stern and believe in all decisions that I make, because I'm the one that's gonna have to live with them, you know, and just to mind one's own business and stay in their corner and keep healthy, you know. So that's a very good brotherhood that we have built, and friendship in life and in business, and wish him nothing but the best. And that man is definitely gonna get his, and he's going to, as he's been doing, leave a great mark on a lot of people's lives. And you know, this might sound morbid, but this is the man that people will realize how much of an impact he had on their personal lives when he's no more, you know. But hey, touch wood, you know, that man needs to live to 100. Shout out to K. Ezel.
I can imagine you at 100. No, my diaper is full. Come change it, you bloody fool.
Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah, shout out to Gubs. That's bro, you know, on the real.
Yeah. May I just come in there for a second?
Yeah.
Gobs, in my humble opinion, is one of the hottest sound engineers people don't know about.
Yeah. Facts.
He is incredible.
Yep.
And I'll tell you when I got newfound respect for Gobs, because Gobs engineered one of the songs I worked on with Miser.
Mm-hmm.
And we're recording Antonio Lyons, and Antonio came into studio, Gobs worked his magic. The next day, Gobs sent me a copy. He's like, listen, tell me what you think.
Yeah.
And he's incredible. But like I said, my respect for Gobs reached a new level when we were performing together at Rockets in Menlyn.
Yeah.
That's before they upgraded the sound.
Yes, sir.
So the sound was crap. But Gobs, because he's a sound engineer, got you to sound better than anyone else sounded that day on the same sound.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what he does for a living.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping other artists understand why it actually makes sense to have a sound engineer that you travel with.
Yeah.
So that you sound your best all the time.
Yep. I don't go anywhere without, I don't do any shows.
Yeah.
Without Gobs.
Yeah.
Like nowhere.
Yeah.
Unless if it's, there's an a family emergency, maybe on his end,
sure.
Maybe someone will fill in just that one night. But sure. Like 99.9.5%, he's there.
Yeah.
And I also travel with my own equipment, so he understands it better. He knows exactly. I don't do sound checks.
Sure.
I don't do sound checks.
Yeah.
It's him and Tulu over there and the rest of the team.
Yeah.
And then by the time I just get there and show up, and that's it. Yeah. So he knows exactly what I need, how I want my mic to sound, and the entire presentation. So he's definitely he's incredible. And I also just like the fact that, like, the guys around me, Tulu, like you said, he started off as a beat maker.
Sure.
And then now he's my manager, business partner. Yeah. Like,
and Gobbs is gym partner. I see them at gym every single day.
Yes, sir.
I'm told you have a private gym. That's why you don't join. You don't join us at the public gym there.
You know? So I just like how, like, they also got to a point where they just allow themselves to wear different hats.
Sure.
Because in our space, bro, you need to be a chameleon.
Yeah.
You know? You could be great at one thing, but you need to be able to do other things. I mean, in GOPS, went from being a sound engineer to from being a DJ to a sound engineer, and then to being an A&R person. Now he's got a position at UMG.
Exactly.
You know, so really crazy.
And I think it's important within your team to always have people that can cover each other's backs. Yeah. There must never in a team be a situation where, oh, but that's his role.
Yeah.
That's why the ball dropped.
Yeah.
If I see the ball is going to drop, I should be able to cover that ball for you.
Definitely.
If we are in a team with the same goal.
Yep.
And I think that's what a lot of teams lack.
Yeah.
That I can see that your zip is undone, but I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah. Because
we should be covering each other all the time.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to look better than you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And also, like, you know, when that whole laws of power thing, when they say, Don't outshine the master.
Yes.
And you know, I'm not a master. I don't consider myself a master. You know, we are a team. But I think when you understand who is who and what their role is and what you bring to the table, if your role is complementary,
yes, sir.
You stay in your position.
Absolutely.
Because you know, okay, cool. If there's, in this case, if there's Ronaldo on the team.
Sure.
We need to make sure Ronaldo
is performing optimally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need to give him the ball.
Sure.
We need to, you know, make sure that everything is convenient for him to give us an ultimate performance. So
yeah.
I think that's what I've appreciated with the guys. And not because, again, I'm not running like a tyranny where I want things a certain way. They just know, okay, cool, this is what we do. This is that's what he does.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Okay, final one. I thought we were done, but final one.
Hola fresh, hola the big dog. Ma ilona, kanda kanda kanda, the township councillor. Ish la out repair telapo, you know, what a stand up guy. KO doggos on Luli. What would I be without that nigga, you know? I met that nigga 26 years ago.
Yo.
Eskele, you know, that's university. Great. From the first day in Mbona, you know, I saw a stand-up guy, a focused guy, a guy with principles, you know, a hard-working guy. Even today, he's still the same guy, you know, with a warm heart, you know, and ready to give anytime you're in need of something. Yeah. And there was Mdluli, you know, as Kanzisa, Kubeka ube lo muntu owe, ngathi uNkulunkulu angakwandisela ngaso sonke isikhathi. Andise la uthatha khona mfethu, andise umoya wakho omuhle. Ngabonga ngayo yonke into mfethu. Qhubeka, you know, ube focused as you are. Qhubeka to have principles as bakufundisile ekhaya kwaMdluli. Ngiyabonga kakhulu the township councillor. Kanda kanda, uyakubonga. Hala.
My easy does it.
Yeah, man. Come on. Like, what can you say about my dad's bro? Like,
yes, sir.
Yeah, like he's just...
I've literally goosebumps on my legs. Just
yeah, man, yeah. Like that's just the type of guy that he is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there could be like situations. That guy literally is his flair. Like he's like a hot butter knife.
Sure.
He can cut through any tension.
Sure.
He just melts any situation, you know.
Sure.
You could, even if you have like some type of frustration,
yeah.
You know, with him.
Mm.
And then as soon as you see him
yeah.
and his energy and his aura, it just calms you the hell down.
Sure.
You know, you can't even turn up on him, you know what I mean? Because he's just a sweet human being, you know. And yeah, I mean, for as long as I live, I think I also owe my life to that man, because him co-signing me when I was coming from out of town, being out here and moving me in the circles in Joburg, places that I would have never been. Mm. It was all because of my E. And, sure. you know, I'm super, super, super forever grateful for my dad.
There was a time in, like, the Tiergas era.
Yeah.
Where often their verses got a bigger response than your verse.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel at the time?
It just told me I need to get my shit up. You know what I mean? I need to get on my A game.
Yeah.
Because, and respectfully,
yeah.
that actually only happened the first album.
Sure. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You did step up.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that first album, if I didn't feel that way, if I didn't have a chip on my shoulder because of that first album, I probably wouldn't have gone out to even write some of the verses that are even outside of Tear Gas, you know, because I just knew that put me in any situation from there on, I'm going to have to stand out first,
sure.
you know, whether it's a feature or whatever. And it all came because of the chip on the shoulder that I had at Tear Gas.
How do you not allow feeling like that to consume you such that it almost becomes a handicap of sorts? Because it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And sometimes even breeds resentment within a group.
Of course, definitely. There was always, you know, brotherly love, like and brotherly competitiveness, you know, amongst ourselves with each record that we actually put together.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what I appreciated during that moment. But for me, when that switch happened, it was also partly fueled by, and I wasn't aware of this, but like it was fueled by me being sober.
Sure.
You know, because I stopped drinking after the first album.
Mm.
So everything that I was doing from there was with a sober mind.
Yes.
So I didn't go to the studio under no influence or anything, you know. Mm. So everything was just so super duper clear.
Yes,
you know, even like down to my wardrobe choices, it was all coming from a place of someone who is just now actually
fully present.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think it just happened simultaneously as I was going through that.
But speaking of that, for instance, but because you're an entrepreneur also.
Yes, sir.
And you've got many things happening. And, you know, and as they say, you need to be aware of all the shit that's happening within your corporation.
Yeah.
How do you ensure being present such that you don't turn around tomorrow and say, oh, flip, I had no idea someone was stealing money. Or I had no idea this was happening or that wasn't happening. How are you managing that?
Bro, I do so many, like, as I'm speaking to you right now, I have renovations at the house.
Yes.
I haven't tended to some of the businesses out there.
Sure.
But because it's a Tulu, you know, I mean, we have a store in Rosebank.
Yeah.
I am still...
Do you have double extra large, by the way?
We got you, big dog.
All right, I'll see you guys. In fact, from here, I'm going to the store.
We got you, big dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's just now the thing of, like, when you have people that you can actually trust, you know, even in your sleep.
Sure.
That when you are distracted, they will still be present to make sure that things are running smoothly. That's why you need a great team of loyal human beings who, because that's just also one thing, like, I'm not trying to be morbid, but I feel like in Black culture, right, we've seen so many stories where Black dad starts from zero, creates an amazing, you know, business. And then, boom, suddenly, you know, life happens and then he passes on, whether it's in his 50s or even older. But when he passes on, he dies with the keys to the business.
Yeah.
Like,
no continuity.
You know what I mean? So when he's gone, the corporation dies with him, literally, because no one, he didn't do a handover.
Sure.
He didn't groom anyone,
sure.
you know, on how to actually operate this whole thing, even in his absence. So those are some of the things that I'm learning as well. I'm like, oh, shucks. No wonder you still have a Coca-Cola who the founders died hundreds of years ago, but those businesses are still, you know, operating to this day. So as Black people, these are things that we need to, you know, prioritize, making sure that we have the right people around us so that if we are not here, because life happens, the business can still continue so that it can sustain your family and your offspring.
Absolutely. My dude, we are out of time.
Yes, please.
They're saying. So we're going to quickly just check up on your week quickly, since this is What a Week. You have a single coming out this week.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, dropping today. Tell us about that single.
Oh, man. Brand new record called Let Me Cook, featuring one of the young lyrical wizards. That are emerging right now, Maglero Doughboy, such a dope, raw talent. And yeah, we linked up and we also shot the video. It's also coming out pretty soon.
Dope.
This record was produced by Lunatic. Lunatic is a long time, you know, collaborator. We did Karakara and all those monumental, you know, records with him. So we are still continuing on that path. And I think this is something that SA Hip Hop needs right now.
Yes, sir.
I'm also just happy to still be in a space where, cool, I mean, people are hearing the Set Days and, you know, the Tatas and some of those other tracks that I've put out where I'm just like, you know, messing with the melodies. But I'm just, you know, happy to get back into like rapping again, like, and just like unashamedly doing so. But also not just rapping people's minds off.
Yeah.
But more so just like still making actual bops.
Sure.
And I think this is definitely going to be one of the strong bops from hip hop this year. So go stream it. The video is coming out pretty soon.
Yeah.
K.O. Let Me Cook featuring Maglero Doughboy.
Sure. One of the other big stories this week, Drake versus Kendrick. How are you hearing it?
You know, crazy thing is, I'm happy that it actually happened.
Yeah.
Because I was one of those people. I've always been, dude, I don't actually even follow sports.
Yeah.
Like, not that I don't follow, but like, I don't have a...
You're not a fanatic.
Yeah. Like, I'm aware of a Kaizer Chiefs and the Pirates.
Sure.
But I don't support none of them.
Sure.
Because I've seen people just like turning into like fanatics and turning into idiots.
Yeah.
You know, arguing about people that don't even know you.
I saw a guy get shot outside a house at a party in Bryanston in the winter of 1995 over a soccer argument.
You see?
Yeah.
You understand?
Exactly.
So even with those two guys, I'm a fan of both Drake and Kendrick.
Yeah.
But I always knew that. And see, this is the thing about us as consumers. We are so toxic that we wanted this battle to happen.
Yes, yes.
And like, oh,
We're sadistic in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, and then boom, and then it's happening now. And then here I am, I'm like, okay, now it needs to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this...
Has it gone too far?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
Like with the whole thing of like involving family and all this stuff, I think it definitely has gone too far. And then like, obviously like recently, there's also like a... There was an incident outside Drake's house and someone got shot.
Yeah, there was a, I think his security
guard
outside the house. Yeah.
And then obviously, if you are a Drake fan, you're thinking, that has to do with Kendrick.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't even know what's actually going on out there. It definitely probably doesn't even have anything to do with Kendrick, you know, because this is in a whole other country.
Sure.
But, you know, as it happens, it just also allows for other things to now like pop up, and you know, who knows, touch wood, something doesn't happen to Kendrick's household.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So this thing just needs to stop. But I always knew,
yeah,
as a fan and also as a lyricist leading up to the whole thing, I was like, I wish it happens so that I can be proven right.
And what were you being proven right about?
Who do you think is winning?
I'm asking you, bro.
Who do you think is winning in your books?
Me as a referee, I must just say red card, yellow card, penalty. But you as the...
I mean, I think someone said whoever's your favorite is winning.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's pretty clear, I think.
And often, sadly, that's how being a fan operates. You could say the cat sat on the mat, and I could think, oh, shit, bars, because I'm a big fan of yours.
Yeah, exactly, you know. But, I mean, on paper and also the numbers, and just in terms of just, like, damage.
Sure.
If we're talking about, like, someone...
You sound like you're saying Kendrick is winning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because... There's a lot more damage.
Sure.
So more
fatal shots.
Yeah, there were more fatal shots on that he took out.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter. These people, they don't feed us, and I don't really, you know, care too much to invest in both of them. But I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I have more Drake music on my phone than Kendrick.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
What are you grateful for this week?
Grateful, obviously, for life, as always. And also just grateful of the fact that, like, this is, what, like, 19 years almost in the game.
Mm.
And people are excited about a new song that I'm putting out.
It's a blessing and a half, bro.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's crazy because... We are in a. We also deal with a lot of ageism in our culture.
Yes.
And it's you like, know,
you're still rapping, my man. When are you retiring?
You know.
I think it's an African thing. You don't see it in any other country.
Yeah, definitely.
No one will ever come to the Rolling Stones and say, "You guys are 100. What are you doing on stage?"
Bro, exactly. You know, but it's something that I don't take lightly. The fact that, you know, there are still people that are really rooting for me and that are excited about the new stuff.
Yeah.
I have like kids. Someone called me this morning. His kid is like 4.
Yeah.
I think they were playing Tata.
Yeah.
Like, this guy calls me at 7:30 in the morning before the kid goes to credit, and the kid doesn't want to walk away from TV because the song is playing.
Oh, wow.
She's dancing and she's singing. She's like, bro, like, look at the kid, you know? So it just says a lot about, like, you know, the anointment that one carries around in terms of, like, music.
Being consistent also helps, though.
Absolutely.
Being hardworking also helps.
Absolutely.
Keeping your eye on the prize also works. Then you're ticking all those boxes.
Yeah. And discipline, you know, like, discipline is so important. And also just being receptive to, sorry to drag this whole thing, but I'm someone
who... Yeah, this is us wrapping up, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be open to criticism. Be open. Like, as soon as you can develop a core... to be immune to criticism, whether good or bad, trust me, that is how you develop your superpowers.
Sure.
Because you are able to look at your hater making a certain comment, and instead of, like, you ingesting it as, okay, so this person doesn't want me to prosper,
sure,
but you take certain things from him and you go and you apply and you actually see magic coming out of it.
Sure.
Come on, bro.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. That's different.
That's why I've often preached about how don't ignore whatever you feel are haters.
Yeah.
You must still listen.
Yeah.
You must still listen. But if you have the heart to listen.
Yes, sir.
And you're not trying to protect your peace from it, listen to it anyway.
Yeah.
And reflect if there might be a point being made. Yeah. Because often we don't hear the things we need to hear.
Yeah.
Because we class everything as you're a hater.
Yeah, yeah.
Versus, yes, you might hate me.
Of course.
But what you said is valid. Maybe I need to work on this.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to work on that. Yeah. And maybe let me do that.
Yeah. And also, like, this is not, with what you're saying, this is not us trying to condone hater culture.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you have any form of critique, also find a way of, like, you know, putting it across.
Often it's the how.
Yeah.
It's always the how.
The delivery is important.
Yeah.
You know, because you could be saying something very substantial,
yeah,
but just watch your delivery when you're putting your point across.
Yeah, because the minute you start saying, Yahweh, Nakeo, I already, like, how am I going to listen to you?
It's up already.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My dude, where do we find you on social media? Where do we support you? Where do we get the merch?
Yes, sir. So firstly, check out the new record, KO, Let Me Cook, featuring my Clara Doughboy, out right now. And make sure you pull up at the store. My store is called Swave, SWAVE. It's in Rosebank on 9 Keys Avenue. We got all the dope ish out there. And you can also, you know, purchase online, swavedaily.com. And my social media platforms, very simple. It's MR Cash Time, Mr. Cash Time, on every platform out there. Let's get it.
My dude, nothing but love, nothing but respect. Like, shout out to you, everything that you do, everything that you stand for. And I think most importantly, just your consistency.
Yes.
If you keep at it, something happens eventually.
Yes, sir. Which I appreciate it.
I think you're a perfect example of that. So shout out to you, my dude.
Thank you, my G. I appreciate that.
Brand new single is out. KO is about to leave the building. Sunday is one of those important days where we acknowledge every important people, every very. Go, please, beg. Now, Sunday is one of those important days where we acknowledge very important people in our world. So to all the moms, motherly figures, moms in waiting, and even the dads pulling mom duty, hope you have a great Mother's Day. To the potential moms, enjoy the free time while you still have it. And to everyone else, the, well, electricity while you still have it. Hope you all have a wow week ahead. Coming to you from AM Studios, we're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Shout out to Pezulu Works for the cinematography, all of the imaging, courtesy of Otis the Flow Fraser, and our guests today, KO and our What a Kid guest, opera singer Sinesipho Mnyango, creative producer Krivesh Mohan, and show producer Keletso Modisa Geng. Email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Till next week, have a great week in spite of yourselves.